Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 15th of July. Coming up, concerns have been raised about safety following a fatal crash at a level crossing near Sittingbourne, and we've been hearing what people think about a potential to ban swearing in public. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a driver has called a parking firm disgusting after he was wrongfully issued a £100 fine for overstaying. Davina's been following this story for the Kent Online podcast. She's got some more details for us. First of all, Davina, where was Ray parked, and can you tell us a little bit about the fine he received in the mail?
So Ray had parked at the multi-storey car park at the Morgan Maidstone. It's where he always parks his car whenever he visits the town centre. As always, he paid for his parking using the Ringo app and takes a screenshot of his payment afterwards, so he always has proof. His most recent visits were on June 24th, when he popped down for no more than an hour just to grab a few bits, and then he returned on June 30th for a meeting at the job centre. He didn't really think much of it, but then a few days later, on July 3rd, he had a letter come through the post informing him that he had an overstayed authorised parking session and that he'd left his vehicle at the car park for more than 140 hours, which is the equivalent of about 6 days.
And what do we know about the car park? Do they use ANPR? Who owns the site?
So the car park has about 1,050 spaces and it's managed by Your Parking Space. It is also ANPR controlled. It was taken under the management of Your Parking Space in 2021 after it underwent a digital transformation during the COVID pandemic. But there had been issues at the time. An IT specialist had even spoken to us before, saying that he'd warned bosses of the shopping centre at the time over flaws in their system. And this isn't the first time we've covered stories over people being wrongfully issued fines at this shopping centre.
And what happened when Ray challenged the fine?
So obviously when Ray received this letter through the post, he was very baffled by it. So he took it to the mall and presented it to the management team there, where he spoke to a lady and was able to have it voided. But as he said to us, from the way she spoke, it seemed as if she knows it happens a lot there.
Now, he went on social media and he was contacted by a number of other drivers who had the same issue, and some of them even paid their incorrect fines. Is that right?
Yes, Ray did post about this on social media just to warn other drivers and make them aware of the situation. But to his surprise, he was inundated with responses from people saying that they'd had similar experiences at this very same shopping centre. As I've mentioned before, this is not the first time we've covered stories like this. So when Your Parking Space took on the site in 2021, we had a few people come forward to us saying that they'd been wrongfully issued PCNs. At the time, the firm had said that this was due to people incorrectly entering their vehicle registration when paying and was just a small percentage of those customers affected. In September, we had further shoppers experience similar problems, which this time the firm said was due to a recent software update. And then in the February just gone, we had the company backtrack on a £100 fine after we got involved in a pensioner's case. He had had two appeals rejected and was threatened with bailiffs, despite having proof of his payment. He had believed he'd accidentally been fined due to issues with the kiosks that day.
And just finally, Davina, what do Your Parking Space have to say?
So speaking to us, Your Parking Space said it was incredibly proud of the many technological innovations it's introduced across hundreds of car parks across the UK. They said they were disappointed to hear of Mr. Newman's experience and had happily investigated the issue. They said, in this instance, a fine was incorrectly issued due to a rare technical issue and has since been cancelled. We apologise to Mr. Newman for the inconvenience caused. While issues like this are uncommon, we are reviewing the site's camera setup and making improvements to help prevent similar cases and ensure a high standard of service for other users.
Thanks, Davina.
Kent Online News.
An Ashford man's been jailed after attacking the mother of his child, then trying to claim she'd slipped in the bath. The victim was left in intensive care after suffering internal bleeding in March. 26-year-old Taylor Kirkpatrick from Adisham Gardens has been locked up for 3 years and given an indefinite restraining order. Elsewhere, a sex offender has been sent to prison after carrying out a number of attacks on his vulnerable victim in Tunbridge Wells. Benjamin Edgell faced charges of sexual assault and making indecent images of a child between 2018 and 2020. The 43-year-old from Longleat Road in Radstock in Somerset has been locked up for 14 years. It's been revealed a railway crossing where an Amazon delivery driver was killed near Sittingbourne had a history of near misses. A van was hit by a train at the Bax Crossing in Tenham on Sunday. Both that site and the nearby Frognall Farm crossing in Lower Road were identified as risks by Network Rail in 2021. There was even an incident 8 years ago where a van was hit by a high-speed train, but luckily there were no casualties. Councillor Lloyd Bowen represents Tenham at Swain. Whale Borough Council and is calling for action to improve safety.
The investigation of 2017, if there are any learning points from that, if they haven't been upheld or incorporated into today's procedure, then that really needs to be addressed. Whatever the fault or the cause for the incident, which I'm not going to speculate on in terms of blame or anything like that, because it's too early to tell, and obviously the British Transport Police will do their investigation. But there is the similarity to 2017. I think it's a telephone system with lights to actually cross the crossing itself. And whether the signage is appropriate, time will tell on that. But what could be done to improve it so there isn't a third incident that could actually be even worse than the previous two?
Do you think that it needs to be, that crossing needs to be sharp? Do you think there needs to be lights put there? What's your feeling on that?
No, I don't think it necessarily needs to be shut. It is not, I don't think it's particularly overly used level crossing as such. It is a small crossing for use to a couple of or a few addresses down there, as far as I'm aware. So I don't think it necessarily needs to be shut, as opposed to what safety measures could be introduced to make it more safe for users. We've had we've had cases where crossings in the area have been closed by Network Rail, which I personally don't agree with. So I would not be in favour of having another crossing shut as a result of a very tragic incident, when other potentially safety measures could be introduced to keep it in operation and operating well and safely.
An investigation into Sunday's crash is ongoing.
Kent Online News.
A man's been jailed following a single punch attack which left a man with serious head injuries in Tunbridge Wells. Troy Frith carried out the assault outside a supermarket after an argument over a parking space in April. The 32-year-old from Ellenborough Road in Sidcup has been locked up for a year. A week after a man was shot by police near Maidstone, he remains in a critical condition in hospital. Sean O'Meara was seriously injured by an officer in Hollingbourne last Monday night following a standoff. The 37-year-old's family say they are helping with the ongoing investigation. Now, we've been getting reaction from people in Thanet about a potential ban on swearing in public. We told you on yesterday's podcast how bosses are hoping to revive the idea after previously being threatened with legal action by free speech campaigners. Fines are being considered again as a way of cracking down on antisocial behaviour. People in the area have been telling us whether they think a ban should be introduced.
I don't think so. I think it's hard to control that. Because how? I guess putting cameras maybe there and microphones.
Well, I'd be having to pay out all the time, wouldn't I? And I don't think it's about swearing antisocial behaviour. I think it's about the bars selling cheap lager on the beach. That seems to be when the culture changed in Broadstairs from it being family friendly to being hordes of teenagers getting lagered up on the beach.
Possibly if you carry on after a warning, that might be reasonable. And it's always quite disturbing if you're on the beach and someone shouting and if they're using bad language. There's an element of free speech, but I suppose there's an element of what is acceptable swearing and what isn't acceptable swearing. Because saying blooming used to be called swearing, it's not anymore.
I agree, I think it should happen. There's groups of youngsters, not just locals, they're coming down by train and everything, and they're just causing trouble and swearing and just out of order, but just wrong.
It was brought up strict, weren't we, and not swearing or anything like that, but it hasn't changed for years and years and years. I can't see it changing at all.
Let us know what you think by putting a vote in the poll in our story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A skydiver has been taken to hospital after being injured during a landing at Headcorn Aerodrome. An air ambulance and paramedics were called on Saturday afternoon after a man suffered a broken ankle. He's believed to be an experienced club member who's completed more than 1,300 jumps. The former leader of Kent County Council has raised concerns about plans for a shift in SEN policy. Bosses are looking to cut costs by placing pupils with profound learning disabilities in mainstream primary schools. Paul Carter, who was head of the authority for 14 years before standing down in 2019, says there's not enough support in classrooms, which will impact other children's learning as well. Now, it might be a bit cooler today, but a Kent farmer's been telling us how weeks of hot and dry weather has had an impact on crops. We had one of the driest springs on record, and there have already been three heat waves so far this summer. Josiah Jones runs a farm near Gravesend, which grows plants and looks after cattle. He's been chatting to Lucy about the challenges they're facing.
For us in particular, where we're on the North Downs, we're quite chalky. So stuff dries out pretty quick anyway. We are massively struggling for forage. So we're a bit worried about going forward into the winter. We are probably 50% down on what we would normally have. Thankfully, we do a lot of that for sale anyway. So we're going to have to cut down what we sell, because we have to look after our cattle and our sheep. Talking to neighbouring farmers, that's a similar thing across the board, where there's a lot of farmers worried about keeping their cattle through the winter, especially with maize crops and those sorts of forage crops. They're all looking pretty poor. That's one of our main worries. I mean, even this morning, I had to move sheep onto grazing that I was holding back for when I wean lambs. So I'm a bit worried about what we call making that dirty with worms and the other, you know, diseases. So I'm going to have to spend more money this year on wormers and keeping an eye out for things that could be a problem in the future.
I've heard some people say, you know, this hot weather, this is just the summer, we should just get on with it. But do you think things are slightly different to usual this time of year with this heat wave?
Our problem is that it started out dry. So even now, sometimes a couple of times this year, I've been going on with a mower. I've hit a flint with the mower and I've set fire to the field already. Thankfully, it's only been smouldering fires, but previous years, I just wouldn't have had that. I am very, very nervous this year about combining. So one of my problems is that, you know, normally when we're combining, the underneath, the soil can be a bit damp. So if stuff does set on fire, it stops pretty quick. This year, I am very nervous about combining, that the second I get a flint hit the header, it's all just going to go up in smoke.
Yeah, because we did have, I think, one of the driest springs on record as well. And I suppose it's that prolonged period of dry weather, which we, you know, we still seem to be in despite a few days of rain. This dry weather seems to be lasting a really long time.
Yeah, so the rain events we have had have been sort of small and far between. So they haven't actually encouraged any growth. They haven't really damped anything up. You know, even old boys are saying that it's starting to get as dry as 76, which is their sort of go-to. And getting an old farmer to admit that times are hard now is normally quite hard. It's an ongoing thing now that we're going to have to watch out for dry conditions. Even if I do go combining, there's no point in putting a cultivator in the ground. All I'm going to do is damage machinery. So I'm just going to have to wait for some rain.
Yeah, and obviously you mentioned ways you're having to adapt, you know, keeping some of that forage that you were hoping to save for winter isn't there, or having to keep it for yourself rather than selling it. I mean, how worrying is that for you, just from a business standpoint?
Now, we're a bit of a unique thing now in agriculture, in that we've got lots of fingers in lots of pies. So we are still growing our cereal. So what we can do is adapt our feed regime to be feeding them more in the way of cereals. I don't want to do it, but with cereal prices as they are, which is pretty low, I'm better off putting that into my sheep and my cows than I am selling it. But, you know, I had a neighbouring farmer on the phone the other day that he's really going, I don't know what I'm going to do, Joss. Like, my maize crops have completely failed. The weeds that I want to spray out in there, it's going to cost me thousands of pounds to spray it out. I've got cattle that are losing condition because I've got no grass. I don't know what to do. So coupled with other, you know, economic events, I don't know a farmer that's particularly happy at the moment.
And of course, this all has a knock-on impact for everybody in terms of, you know, prices in the supermarket and just the availability of certain products.
Absolutely. So, Certainly the price of beef is going to be going up. The UK has got a reduction in numbers over the past couple of years. So price is high anyway. This is surely going to put prices up even higher. We're in a global market now, so grain prices, I don't know what's going to happen there. But we're just we're it's really sort of hammered home that we aren't just at the whims of the powers that be. We are whims of the weather as well. You know, everything's coming at us at the moment, and with dry weather like we've got in the southeast here, it's not looking good for the future year, you know, for the rest of the year.
A hosepipe ban has come into force in other parts of Kent as South East Water say they're dealing with record levels of demand.
Kent Online News.
There'll be disruption for drivers heading to the A2 with the Quay Street roundabout closed for 10 days for utility works. Diversions will be in place from August 11. It's all part of a £38 million scheme to upgrade both Quay Street and Grovehurst roundabouts. It comes at a time when part of nearby Chestnut Street is also closed for 2 months. With hosepipe bans now in force for most of the county, there's anger over a water leak in Cox Heath that's been going for 9 months. It's believed around 100 litres a day is being spilled outside the Heathside Centre. South East Water say it's a complex situation and two attempts to fix the leak have had to be abandoned. It's understood no new date for repairs has been set. The former Ashford MP is part of a new think tank working towards reform to social care. Damien Green is the chair of the Social Care Foundation and says we need to act to avoid a slow motion crisis. It's currently provided by local councils whose budgets are already overstretched. Damien Green says we need radical change.
We know how many 70-year-olds there are now, so we know in 10 years' time, roughly speaking, how many 80-year-olds they're going to be. And we know what percentage of 80-year-olds will require some kind of, as you say, nursing care or just residential care. And that's probably not going to change very much in a decade, because whatever medical advances we make probably won't change those statistics very much. So in a sense, this is my point. This is a it might be a slow motion crisis, but it's entirely predictable that it will get worse and more intense because of the demographics.
But why aren't governments funding councils properly to look after these people?
Well, the answer is because in the end it involves taking more money off people, and people are already feeling overtaxed, and successive governments have not wanted to confront people with the unpleasant thought that if you want decent, high quality social care, we're going to have to pay for it somehow. Mm. And how you pay for it has become the big arguing point. As you say, we fund it through councils at the moment. I think it's very questionable whether we should continue to do that. I think the danger is that Kent will end up as a provider of social care with, you know, a couple of libraries and maybe a service to repair potholes on the end of it, and that will be about it. And I don't think that's what we want from local government. I personally think.
Yeah. But, so how would you, which sort of funding model would you favour? Would you be looking at something like, you know, what became known as the dementia tax, or would you want to sort of, you know, make people, you know, sort of sell their own homes or their assets in order to pay for it? I mean, how would you fund this?
I wouldn't want people to sell their own homes, but I do think those who can afford it could take some more individual responsibility. I'm attracted to an insurance type of model where basically you take out an insurance policy against the possibility that you will need expensive social care towards the end of your life. And there will always be some people who will required to be supported by the state because they haven't got any assets, haven't got any money. But anyone who is a homeowner, if you said, right, if everyone who's a homeowner put a percentage of that into an insurance policy, then you would fund social care better. Mm-hmm. And also, because you need to get something for something, you would have peace of mind. You wouldn't worry about how am I going to pay for this, or am I going to become a burden on my children, or am I going to have to sell my home and lose my whole inheritance from it? I think a sort of long-term approach to it, much as we do with pensions, would be sensible. And people say, well, what happens, you know, if you've got this insurance policy and you never cash it in, that you die in a car crash on your 70th birthday or something like that? Well, okay, you've as it were wasted that money, but you know, we all pay car insurance every year, we all pay house insurance every year, and I hope never to claim on either of those policies. I hope, in a sense, I'll go through my life wasting money on that, because I'd rather not have a car accident, I'd rather not have my house burgled. So that's the point of insurance is, A, it gives you peace of mind, B, it helps you in an emergency, but C, you can buy a lot more if people collectively insure, then you have enough money going around the system, that you can afford to help people.
He's been speaking on a recent episode of the Kent Politics podcast. If you missed it, you can download it now on the podcast page at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A post office in Ashford will be allowed to serve alcohol despite fears about anti-social behaviour. The shop in Y is now licensed to serve alcohol from 8am until 6pm daily. Residents are worried it will lead to extra noise and rubbish on the village green. Work is now wrapped up on a £300,000 scheme to stop flooding off the A2. Contractors have installed a basin which can hold more than 1 million litres of water in Sittingbourne. Although the project is finished, councils say the fencing will stay up until newly planted greenery has had a chance to thrive. And a Kent Farm Shop has been named the UK's second best. Macnade Food Hall in Faversham was beaten to the top spot by Jeremy Clarkson's Diddley Squat Store. The list was compiled based on TripAdvisor ratings, price ranges and social media.
Kent Online Sports.
Taking a very brief look at football today, and Gillingham are travelling to take on Championship side Southampton later. That match will be played behind closed doors as part of their pre-season schedule. The Gills will be back at Priestfield for another friendly against Luton Town this weekend. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.